welcome to November's Library Chat, the monthly podcast by the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, where we chat about books and podcasts with library staff and guests. I am Sarah Williford, Library Director, and here with me today for our episode is some familiar voices if you listen to our Library News or Braille Bits podcast. We have Denise Bean, our Youth Services Librarian.
Hi.
Leslie Heinzler, our Special Services Librarian.
Hello.
And Tyler Sweat, our Accessible Media Specialist.
Hey.
So what is Library Chat? Leslie and Tyler have been doing the Library News podcast for over a year, and it's great for hearing what is new in the library, upcoming events, and about books. And Denise has been doing our Braille Bits podcast, taking us through Braille lessons with special guests, learning all about Braille. We decided to expand the podcast the library offers to include one that discusses books and podcasts around what we hope are fun and interesting topics. Last month was our first episode, and because it was October, we decided it was only fitting to delve into the spooky and talk about Halloween, trick-or-treating, and scary books. If you missed it, the podcast along with the book list is available on our library blog at iowalibrary.blog. Today, what we're going to be discussing for this episode is we decided that laughter and humor would be a good topic for November 2020. So thank you, Denise, Leslie, and Tyler for joining me this month.
Sure.
Happy to be here. So, laughter and humor, we always need that in our lives, but when we sat down, I don't know if you remembered, but when we sat down to kind of pick our first few topics for our Library Chat podcast, this one seemed to be a definite topic to add, and we definitely seem to all agree it should be happening in November. And I think, you know, we know there's a lot going on in our world that isn't humorous, or doesn't really induce laughter. But I find that taking a minute to laugh and sometimes laugh at myself helps relieve some of that stress.
Couldn't agree more.
Definitely. Humor is needed for sure.
Absolutely.
So there's a quote from an author, Marjorie Pay Hinckley, and it is, "The only way to get through life is to laugh your way through it. You either have to laugh or cry. I prefer to laugh. Crying gives me a headache." So I've heard that kind of changed in different ways a lot lately. So I've heard, you know, I could laugh or cry, I chose to laugh, or you either laugh or cry at this one to get through it. So I don't know if you guys have kind of heard that phrase out there, the laugh or cry.
I laugh so hard I could cry out loud. My great-grandmother used to say that, and she used to do that. She would laugh so hard that tears would start to flow down her face, and she'd have to get up and get a Kleenex. She'd waddle over and get a Kleenex. So my great-great-grandmother was just like that, yes.
Well, and that's another question I have. Have you ever laughed until you cried?
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
Many times.
I can say I've laughed so hard that other things happen, but we won't go there. You're like, what? What is it?
Oh. I actually did that the other day, and it wasn't even that funny. But for some reason, it just struck me as, like, the funniest thing ever. Like, tears in my eyes, uh-huh. And people were just kind of, like, sort of laughing along with me. Like, we'll just humor her. And it really wasn't that funny now that I look back. But then when I think about it, I start to giggle.
I know. Again,
because it just struck me at that time as very, very funny.
Sometimes you get the giggles when it's very inappropriate,
and that
just makes you laugh even harder. And that, I do that a lot, sometimes, with my family especially.
So. I agree. When I was a kid in church, I would be in church, like right there, and all of a sudden some kid named Tommy would do something funny. And he like make a face because it's Tommy. And then I would try not to laugh. And then my dad would come up and bonk me on the head. Not at all. Then you try to be cool about it, then it's even more, so I get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you think, like, when you start laughing at that level of something incredibly stupid, like, you know in your head as you're laughing that it's not that funny, right. But you cannot stop.
You can't stop.
You just can't stop.
Those are the best laughs in the world, though.
And I think the hardest, too, sometimes, especially when my kids were younger, was they would say, and it's not appropriate. Whatever it just happened was not appropriate. And you're trying to, like, address it and not laugh. And I know that's, like, there's been times where my husband and I would just both end up upstairs and just, like, break down. Because you know you need to address it in a firm in a way, very... in an understanding way.
They can't think
but
it's funny.
It's really funny. It's very funny.
Been there.
Yeah. I think we've all been there time or two. I'm still there on occasion. How about you guys?
And my sister can get me laughing about it. It's not funny, but she can get me laughing, and then that's when we get in trouble, because then we can't stop, and then everything after that anybody says is, like, the funniest. My mom usually just gives up, even at our age now, at that point, just walks away. So, part of what we do in this podcast is kind of to talk about the books. And so the humorous and funny books will be what we're talking about today. So a couple of my questions around books before I get into my list I have is, do you look for funny books to read, and what do you look for in those books?
So when I read like a nonfiction book or a memoir, I like the funny books. There's a couple that I've read recently. One called Born a Crime by Trevor Noah. He's the host of The Daily Show now. His book has some pretty funny moments. But yeah, I usually like the funny memoirs if I'm going to go for funny. Funny fiction is all right, but I like the memoirs the best.
Yeah, I would go that route as well. Because, like, well, the former Daily Show host, Jon Stewart, he has a good book. And I can't think of the title of it now. But that one's good. And then another guy from The Daily Show, Larry Wilmore. His is more of, like... it's like satire. It's less about his life and more like satire jokes. Like, he has a fake podcast that he like has a transcript from and all that stuff. But like that kind of level of stuff is solid.
I've listened to I have to come up with an title, but I do a lot of windshield time to get to and from work. And I do enjoy those funny books and where you're laughing hysterically in your car alone and people drive by and they're wondering, what is she doing in there? That's so funny. But I have to say, I like the nonfiction books that are, you know, I've listened to a lot, and now that we're talking about, I can't think of the name of one right now, but I do enjoy the comedies.
See, and I think I'm a bit of the opposite. So I haven't read a lot of the nonfiction funny, but for fiction wise, I like I was trying to explain to Leslie, you know, I seem to read mysteries, but they kind of have that humorous bent to them, but there is a mystery there, and it's not always, usually death is involved in that mystery, but like the dialogue and the relationships between the characters, because I will say the early like Stephanie Plum by Janet Ivanovich series with her crazy grandma and her family crack me up, and then there's a mystery happening, and I just read one, I finished it yesterday actually, it was Tomb Yards and Butterflies. It's a Montague and Strong case files. It's number one in the series. The first book, but just the dialogue between the two characters just cracks me up, because it's like life or death situation, and you know, one of the characters has like a one-liner and you're just like laughing. So I think for me it's, I kind of add that humor maybe into some of the other genres, I guess. So I did do some research to see what was considered the best or the top humorous books in fiction for adults and nonfiction. And then I also took a look at children's and youth books, because as I sat down to think about this one, a lot of my funny ones came from when I was younger, a child. So, but I'll start with the adult fiction titles that were on. So I kind of looked at a whole bunch of different lists, so these are on the list the most. So for fiction, Good Omens by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. I read that one. It's funny.
That one is funny. I've read that one too.
It's good. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. That one's good.
Also a good one. Yeah.
So this is the one I had not. It was on like a lot of the lists, and it's Three Men in a Boat by Jerome K. Jerome. And let me find. So it was published in 1889. Wow. Yeah. Wow. So here's the summary. This howler is still considered relevant and witty, even though it was written more than 100 years ago. Detailing a boating holiday on the Thames River, Three Men in a Boat began as a travel guide, but soon evolved into a comedic manuscript about the pitfalls of group vacations. Real, witty, and timeless, this humorous account proves that when journeying with friends and dogs, the more things change, the more they stay insane. So then I'm like, I should read that, because our vacations are always with, like, my entire extended family. Mm-hmm. Not just Three Men in a Boat. No, no. We go for 10 enchilada in a van. So I just thought that was kind of, I mean, it was on every list I looked at.
I wonder if what was funny in 1889 on vacation is still funny in 2020 on vacation. Well, maybe not 2020, because our year has been vacationless.
Vacationless this year, but
maybe next year, the last year.
I bet there's this common thread that just kind of interwoven is interwoven in all our experiences, even 100 years later. I mean, yeah. I got to go to the bathroom. Can you pull over, please? I got to go.
Stop the boat.
Can you stop the boat? Can you stop the car?
Do the same arguments happen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Some of the other ones that came up most often, Bridget Jones's Diary by Helen Fielding. The World According to Garp by John Irving. Yeah. The Importance of Being Earnest by Oscar Wilde. The Innocents Abroad by Mark Twain. Skinny Dip by Carl Hiaasen. There was other by Carl as well. And Cat's Cradle by Kurt Vonnegut.
I haven't read many of those, honestly.
Now, Sarah, I have a dog. So and I know you guys like animals. I love the book Marley and Me.
I would not like call
it. No, I don't like the ending.
Book,
no, no, I didn't like the
it
ending.
It has touching, funny moments, no, but overall, I don't know if I would call it.
No, but I just could relate to all those little moments with the dog, but
yeah,
the funny spots, you know, the funny spots were just the puppy stage and then my puppy stage.
And if you remember our conversation about spooky books, and if there's ever a dog or an animal involved,
I know. Yep.
I have to know if they're going to make it.
Well, that would not be a book
and
for you.
And that's not going to be Marley and me.
Spoiler alert on that one. Yeah.
Well, let's just say sometimes that's life.
I had a friend loan me that book and say, you have to read this book. And so I took him the appropriate amount of time and I gave it back to her after a couple of weeks. I'm like, oh, that was great. But I did not touch it. I didn't open it.
I was like,
there's no way I'm reading it. Nope.
Because you already talk know.
Because I knew what was going to happen, and I was I can't handle it. Couldn't do it. So I lied.
Less.
Thanks for the book.
I will say one thing I thought was interesting was a lot of these. So, like, the Mark Twain book, The Innocents Abroad. Again, a travel story. I guess Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you could kind of throw in there. But, I mean, a lot of it was based around travel or being out in the world. So moving on to the nonfiction. So, these, again, most frequent. And it was interesting to see some are older, some are newer. So, If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, What Am I Doing in the Pits? By Irma Bombeck. So, one of her many.
Very popular, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I Feel Bad About My Neck by Nora Ephron, so one of hers. And then The Office Connection by BJ Novak, so one of the writers and actors from the sitcom The Office. Mm-hmm. And then Why Not Me by Mindy Kaling, so another writer and person from actor from The Office. A Walk in the Woods by Bill Bryson. So.
And that's a good one.
That is a good one, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Trials and Tribulations of Hiking the Appalachian Trail with his buddy from Iowa. So it's kind of just a,
yeah. And he's from Iowa. And he wrote another one called The Life and Times of the Thunderbolt Kid, which is like, he's from Des Moines. And a lot of that book was based in Des Moines. It was really good. It was pretty funny. He kind of grew up in the area where I live now. So it was really interesting.
So kind of
he had some funny stories. Yeah.
Another one was If You Ask Me, and Of Course You Won't by Betty White. So
I love Betty White.
Yeah, Betty White, and you just know.
And then Live Right and Find Happiness, Although Beer Is Much Faster by Dave Barry. So one of Dave Barry's. So those are the nonfiction. I don't know if you guys have any other nonfiction.
I think, like, the common thread is, you know, is sort of the adventure travel is what we've noticed in a lot of those. That is just kind of going into the unknown and the sort of laughing our way through it.
A couple that I've read, are for like Saturday Night Live actors or writers, like Tina Fey, her Bossy Pants is good, and mm-hmm. Yes Please by Amy Poehler
yes,
was another
I like Yes Please.
Funny one.
I actually listen to the audio. She does that.
She actually does
the audio,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I think what's so neat about, though, Tammy Faye is that she has such an incredible sense of humor. I just think she's just funny, and it just comes right loudly through her writing.
She does, yeah. She's funny.
And a lot of things, too, with her writing is that she has such a tone that she has when she writes that even that part's funny. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And Betty White. How old is she now?
She's 90
just
something.
So, oh, she's pretty remarkable. I love her attitude.
Yeah.
And her sense of humor. That she just can laugh.
She can. She can laugh at herself,
I
too.
Know.
Yep.
Important.
So then, going into the children and youth titles, one of them was Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus by Mo Willems. So that's a whole series. There's a lot of Don't Let the Pigeon. And that's basically about a pigeon who really, really wants to drive a bus and what happens with that. The Princess and the Pony by Kate Beaton. That's when Princess Pinecone knows exactly what she wants for her birthday this year, a big horse, a strong horse, a horse fit for a warrior princess. But when the day arrives, she doesn't quite get the horse of her dreams.
Sad.
And then, so this is one of my favorites, and I thought I'd read a couple letters from this book. It is The Day the Crayons Quit by Drew DeWalt.
It's a good one.
And basically, poor Duncan, he just wants to color, but when he opens his box of crayons, he finds only letters, all saying the same things. His crayons have had enough, and that they quit. So I'm going to read a couple letters from his crayons. So this is from beige, the color beige. It says, Dear Duncan, I'm tired of being called light brown or dark tan because I am neither. I am beige and I am proud. I'm also tired of being second place to Mr. Brown Crayon. It's not fair that Brown gets all the bears, ponies, and puppies, while the only thing I get are turkey dinners, if I'm lucky, and wheat. And let's be honest, when was the last time you saw a kid excited about coloring wheat? Your best friend, Beige Crayon.
Poor Beige Crayon.
So then we have blue. Dear Duncan, it's been great being your favorite color this past year, and the year before, and the year before that. I really enjoyed all those oceans, lakes, rivers, raindrops, rain clouds, and clear skies. But the bad news is that I am so short and stubby, I can't even see over the railing in the crayon box anymore. I need a break. Your very stubby friend, Blue Crayon.
Now I have to say something. So on the front cover of this book, I'm looking at the picture. And it's a picture of four crayons all holding up a sign, The Day the Crayons Quit. But they're all different size heights, different heights. So we have the orange crayon, who's kind of has his little arms folded looking to the right. And then the red crayon looks angry.
He's got a protest sign.
Yeah. Yeah, he has a protest sign.
Blue being the favorite is the smallest.
And the little one, yeah. And then the green crayon. He's holding the sign. It's kind of upside down. But what's his face doing? I don't even know.
Looking Scully. At his watch.
Oh, it's like, we out of here yet? I don't know.
Attitude.
Yeah.
So, and my last one, my favorite letter is from Peach. Hey Duncan, it's me, Peach Crayon. Why did you peel off my paper wrapping? Now I am naked and too embarrassed to leave the crayon box. I don't even have any underwear. How would you like to go to school naked? I need some clothes. Help your naked friend Peach. So that's one of my, they make me laugh because it's so true. If you think back to when you colored.
I never thought of a naked crayon with the wrapper off until now.
Now that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm going to tell that to my kids next time.
Yeah.
Why is he naked?
Yeah, a naked crayon.
And I had this book sitting in my office for a few days and everybody that came in said, that's my favorite book or that's my son's favorite book. So there's other crayon books in that series, but that's one that makes me laugh.
I love it.
What else was on the list was many Judy Blume books. So Freckle Juice, Super Fudge, Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing. I remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
And then Amelia Bedelia series by Peggy Parrish. I never got into Amelia Bedelia.
I never did either. My kids really did. She does some silly things, that's for sure.
As a youth librarian, we get requests for these books. Yep. Quite a few requests, which is great. Yeah. They must all like to laugh.
And I always throw in there the James Howe, the Mononcula series. I just love those, and my kids love those, but those are funny. So they think they're rabbits. So the narrator is a dog, and then there's his buddy, the cat, that lives with him, Tester, and
has an attitude.
And then they think the rabbit that lives in the house is another pet, is a vampire. So they get the idea, like, this is just one instance that, you know, you need to stake a vampire to, well, they get, like, the type of steak wrong, so they drag a piece of meat steak out of the fridge and are trying to throw it at this poor rabbit. So it's just little things like that. It's very funny. And finally, there's a lot of hilarious children and youth titles, so this isn't a full list, but these are the ones that showed up the most. Was another we've heard of. He had one on the adult list, but BJ Novak's The Book with No Pictures.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd read just the first pages of that one too. So this is a book with no pictures. It might seem like no fun to have someone read you a book with no pictures. It probably seems boring and serious, except here is how books work. Everything the words say, the person reading the book has to say, no matter what.
Uh-oh.
And then you get into the book. So we'll just leave it at that.
This is so suspenseful, Sarah.
I know. You have to read it and see what happens. So I don't know if you remember any books from when you were young that were just the funniest ever.
See, the one that my brother and I loved the most was Stinky Cheese Man.
Yes.
Which is just a lot of just takes fairy tales and makes them incredibly dumb. That's why we love them.
I remember reading Shel Silverstein and Where the Sidewalk Ends and The Light in the Attic. My kids still love those now. My son can't get enough of those, especially the ones that are a little inappropriate. Talk about boogers and stuff.
Yeah.
Those are hilarious.
Yes, I remember I brought home a book, my son brought it home, my grandpa, so his great-grandfather, just thought it was the funniest book ever, so we ended up having to get him a copy, and it was Walter the Farting Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Was a big hit on that side of the family. So what I did notice, kind of transition into our next topic, was so prepping for this, I noticed there's definitely a connection or progression, I'm not sure which, between some of the authors on our list that are also involved in television and writing, and then also who have pretty popular podcasts.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was interesting that I feel like, you know, really the writers, the humorous writers, are involved in all sorts of media and different mediums.
Wear a lot of different hats, don't they?
So, kind of to transition into the podcast we're going to be talking about is, what do you think about the saying, laughter is the best medicine?
I think, like, anytime you have a good laugh with somebody, like, you always feel better. You don't feel worse after laughing for a while. I mean,
very true.
I couldn't agree more. I don't know about you guys, but do you ever have those days where it's just ridiculous because everything about the day is starting going in one huge wrong direction, and then by the end of the day you're just okay, this day I'm and then you just laugh, and then you're just okay, this is just, now it's so crazy, it's ridiculous and it's hysterical that you're laughing about anything. Kind of going back to what you were talking about,
you cry just, or you laugh, which one?
It's almost crazy that the day could be that going that in such a direction that it's just almost funny now.
I actually had a conversation with Marcella, who works in the library. We were talking on the
phone.
She's
funny.
And we had this mystery we couldn't solve with these books. We couldn't figure out what barcode needed to go where. She's like, okay, give me a second. I just need to laugh. And so we just laughed for like 2 minutes. And then finally we stopped and we figured it out and we got it all solved. But it was just like, what are we doing? This is
ridiculous. Did you pull it together?
We got it. Yeah,
but
we got
it
figured out.
She does have a contagious laugh.
She does.
And that's a thing with people. Some people have that contagious laugh. I think Tyler has somewhat of a contagious laugh because he's, and in the podcast, it talked about how there are people that laugh because they want to give you a little joy or give you part of themselves or give that to you. And then I thought, well, that's kind of what you do, Tyler. You just think that you think things are funny.
Yeah.
And I think, are you gifting us this? Oh, you're gifting
all my
the
gift
time.
To everybody.
Thank you, Tyler.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
You're the best.
I'll just jump in. So the podcast that we listen to and we'll be discussing is from The Hidden Brain, and the episode is titled Laughter, the Best Medicine. And just a little bit about Hidden Brain. It says it helps curious people understand the world and themselves using science and storytelling. The Hidden Brain reveals the unconscious patterns that drive human behavior and the biases that shape our choices. It started in 2015 and is hosted by NPR social science correspondent Tyler.
Is it Shankar Vedante? Yeah. Something like that.
Nice. That's good.
It links research from psychology and neurobiology. So we did. We listened to the Laughter, the Best Medicine that really kind of delve into the science of laughter.
Something that stood out for me in the podcast was what they said, and I don't remember who said it, if it was the scientist or the person interviewing, but they said when you're sharing laughter with somebody, it usually means that the time you spent together was not wasted. Like it was fun, quality time, and that really stood out to me because I have so many memories of, my sister lives in California, and whenever we get together, it's just like my kids hate it, my parents hate it, because we just laugh like nonstop, and so. It just means our time together is good times, and I really thought that stood out to me from the podcast.
It did, me too.
I think like a lot of laughter is like building connections with people. Mm-hmm. Like obviously, if you're laughing, then you're building some sort of human connection with that person. So.
Mm-hmm. And some people are just, they laugh so easily, and they just, and then there's, I mean, it's just such a variety of laughter out there that even certain, I can remember when my, I don't know about you, you're all parents in this room, but when my son, we had the longest night, he was up all night, and it was just, are you kidding me? Are you, really? I still love you unconditionally, but you're driving me nuts. But he had his, he laughed. I was in the line of the grocery store, and we're in line, and you know, you got all this stuff going on, and you're waiting. And all of a sudden, some, you know how people like to look at your kids when you're in line and they want to get them laughing. Hey, buddy, what's your baby's name? And they always want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, they did that. Well, what's your baby's name? I said, well, his name is Spencer. And then they immediately go into, let's make your kid laugh mode, you know?
Yeah.
Well, he laughed. And it was the sweetest sound, that giggle from the belly laugh, I think is one of the... And we watch these shows on TV at night about laughter and where the animals are just getting crazy and doing the funniest things. I think that is so hysterical. We just laugh. I don't know if you guys ever watched those videos or listened to those. Yeah. It's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
I love laughing. What is that show called? Laughing. Laughing America. Or
America's Funny Something.
Yes, I like the videos. Yeah.
An American
awesome.
Icon.
Those are pretty good.
The one part when it had you guess if they were friends or not, like strangers on that laughter, I thought was really interesting. Because it was almost immediately, like I was like, oh, that's the friend group and that's the strangers. Like you could tell. Which is just kind of crazy.
The polite laughter.
Yeah.
I don't really know you, haha. Yeah.
They're like broken down into little snippets. Mm-hmm. And yet you could still make sense of the sound. Even from all over the world, these people are... It just shows you how common we all are. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys paid attention to the rat scene.
Well, oh, when they're tickling the rats? Yeah.
I'm just going to say this really quick, and then I'll stop talking so much. But I used to be a rat owner, and they make really great little pets. And then,
besides the fact that they're rats?
They're just, actually, they're very sweet and cuddly.
We're going to have a discussion about that later.
Yeah. Granted, there's different types of rats in the world, but I got to tell you this story. So there's this rat that my son used to have, and when they're talking about the rats and the tickling of the rats, remember in the podcast they were talking about, they go in and they start tickling in the little rats when they're baby rats, how they respond so positively. Well, I had a rat, and the rats had that, they make that sound. Do you guys remember listening to that? And they can hear, they have amazing hearing. So anyway, I go in with our rat, and we would, Snickerdoodle was his name, and he was a very beautiful little sesame
rat. What color
rat.
Was he?
He was sesame colored. Kind of black, Siamese colored, Siamese colored. So we go, roll over, roll over, and he would roll over.
Wow.
Because we would pet him.
And scratch his belly.
Tickle him.
Did he laugh?
He didn't laugh, but I'm sure he was doing.
He was laughing on the inside.
All kinds of sound. I found that to be interesting. That was pretty.
I'm going to take your word for that. I doubt I'm ever a rat owner in my life.
I know.
Same here.
Yeah.
I have to say, I think the laughter and stress for me go hand in hand too.
Definitely.
Like, and I don't mean to say here is stressful, but sometimes when we're faced with like a challenge, I feel like we take a minute to kind of laugh about a few things and then we get to it.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of just like brings me back focus,
right.
Get back to it. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of everything. We just got to fix it. Because I remember, so this goes back to my sister and how we kind of get to giggling and say, we kind of had a health emergency with my son who was clear in the Florida Keys and trying to sort out how I'm going to get on a plane and get there and all this stuff. And so my mom and my sister were coming from Omaha. They were going to meet me in Atlanta. We're going to get on that flight in Atlanta and get to the Florida Keys to help. So my plane got delayed here in Des Moines. And you know it's bad when the flight attendant comes up to you and says, when we land, you're going to want to run.
Yeah, it's like a good
sign. So, and all I can think of is I'm going to miss my connecting flight, but then I'm thinking it's okay. My mom, my sister, I already knew they were on the plane. So I'm running through this airport like a turtle with this giant backpack on my back.
I'm visualizing it. It's pretty funny.
And those of you who know me know that like run when chased is my motto. So I'm like trying to get through this airport, and I get there and I'm like one of the last people on the plane. Out of breath, like sweaty, like, and I get on, and I see my sister, and we both like arms up in the air, and she's like, yes! And everybody, and I just start laughing, like probably hysterically at that point in this whole juncture. But I just remember everybody on the plane just like had like eyebrows up, like,
I'm sure what they're doing, but
what are these two? And so the poor man, I had to climb over to sit down. He's like, do you know her? And all I could think of, and I just start laughing. So they were probably like, oh my goodness. They were probably about
inside
to
inside joke, maybe.
And sort me off the plane.
Yeah.
Those are stressful
but
times.
But we still laugh about that moment where I, like, everybody on that plane, I found my sister, and we were both like, yes! And just laughing. And it was not, none of it was funny.
But that was the funny
at that
part.
Time. Was funny. At that time. But now it's quite funny. Because it all works out
well.
Right
well.
Now.
I'm just visualizing you. like the Bionic Man running through the
Atlanta.
Oh, so the biggest airport in the world. That one? The busiest airport in the world.
I asked the flight attendant, I'm like, can you tell him to wait? And she just looked at me.
Like, yeah, okay.
That's all the airplane.
Well, obviously they know I'm trying.
A for effort.
So I ran. By golly.
You made it.
I made it.
By golly.
So is there anything else from the podcast? I'm trying to think. I found the whole thing in the isolation room that was...
Oh, yeah, the sound.
The no sound and the laughing that was...
So there is a YouTube series they did for a while, and it's like three or four episodes where they have comedians go into a sound booth and present to a crowd. So they can't get any feedback from the crowd, but still have to do like their 10-minute set, and it's fascinating.
I bet.
Because like some of them they do pretty well, but it's just like not having the feedback from the audience who's in the other room is pretty incredible. I can't think of the name of it now.
Well, it's kind of like what you've heard from for like the late night show hosts who have had to do it from home and don't have an audience. There's a couple of them who kind of, you can tell, they like say a joke and pause like, I don't know if this landed or not.
Is this funny?
It was funny at home, but now maybe not. I know, because that room was, you went in and I enjoy quiet sometimes, but that room was super quiet in the podcast they were talking about.
Yeah.
And they had to get then they recorded all this different laughter, stringing it all together to make this incredible, awesome little sound. Mm-hmm. But,
yep.
That was pretty cool.
So any last thoughts on laughter, humor?
I think we covered.
I think you guys are all good chunk of funny. It. I think Tyler, you're hysterical because you are just so happy and joyful. And then Leslie, I love her sense of humor. And Sarah, I think you're so funny.
I think this
sense of humor. I love your sense of humor.
I think this group's very dry humor. Group. Yeah. Like yeah, really, like dry. Which
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree. Great. Well, thank you guys for joining me for our November library chat. I do have kind of a list of books we talked about to add to our blog post when we post the episode. And again, that'll be on our library blog at iowalibrary.blog. You can also find our other library podcasts on that blog as well. And looking to our December podcast, we pretty much hit on this one right away, too. We are thinking that food would be a great topic for Des Moines. So watch our blog for the podcast announcement that we'll be discussing for December's library chat. So have a fabulous fall and a happy Thanksgiving. And thank you for listening. And we'll chat with you next month.
Okay. See you later.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.